This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bunch of things to cover with Jim Rutherford. We get moving. He was on yesterday with Bob Pompeiani and Ron Cook. Joe Starkey was off. So those guys talked to Jim Rutherford. And about Phil Kessel. Is he a Penguin, isn't he? What's going on?
At this point in time, I view it that Phil will return with the team. I'm not actively pushing to trade him at this point. If somebody comes along with a deal that makes sense, we'll take a look at it, just like most of the other players.
Okay, so are trades going to happen or what?
You know, we're not finished making changes. I would expect that there will be a couple more before the training camp starts.
Oh? What about guys like Malkin, Letang, and Hornquist?
I don't remember you saying this is nonsense and put an end to it by saying these guys are going nowhere. Can you do that today?
I can, but it's the same as anything. Like, there's been great players traded in this league, and if somebody comes along with a package that makes sense for the Penguins, we have to look at it.
All right, so translation with all of those cuts, those three clips that were just played, the Penguins are wide open for business.
Big,
outside of Sidney Crosby.
Neon sign is in the window, and it's flashing open. Please,
yes,
call. Please come in. Please offer something, because I feel like I got to make a move.
That's
I got
an
itch I need to scratch.
There is something that needs to happen or wants to happen. I don't know if it will happen, but it feels like Jim Rutherford is wide open for business. Offer us what you got, and we'll talk. It's like Pawn Stars or whatever. Come on in, and let's go.
It's not in the best condition.
Right.
It's got a no-trade clause and makes $4.5 million a year. No thanks.
It's real interesting dynamic, though, that he's so public with this. What's he trying to get accomplished? Is he trying to get—and this is where I come down on it. When I was driving into work this morning, I was thinking about this. Is he trying to get people out of the organization, or is he trying to bring people into the organization?
Well, this is what he keeps being asked, and fairly enough, what needs to be fixed from last year? And this is the part that he keeps throwing back. Producer Matt, if you could pull me up, please. This is the part that Jim Rutherford keeps throwing back.
What we didn't do is come together as a team and have that team chemistry that was necessary. And so some things have to change there. You have to change up a few players, and we have to approach things a little bit differently.
Chemistry. That nice vagary of chemistry. We got to fix chemistry. Okay, well, how do you fix chemistry on a team where it seems like you're going to retain all the big stars that you had at least floated rumors about trading just a month and a half ago?
Follow me on this, Jim. Okay, so if Kessel doesn't go, okay, and Hornquist doesn't go, and Hornquist at this point is kind of damaged goods and a guy who I don't know a lot of teams are going to trade for, and Gino doesn't go, and Sid, of course, isn't going to go. Here are your lines, maybe. McCann, Sid, Guentzel, Rust, Gino, Phil, Bluger, Bukestad, Hornquist, Aston Reese, the guy they just got, the two Dominics. Aston Reese and the two Dominics, right? And then Schultz and Pedersen, Letang and Dumoulin, Gudbranson and Johnson. Who of all that mix, the down-the-liners, the rest of the guys, who shuttling out of that and getting them out of here is going to change the dynamic and change the room?
If you want to change the dynamic, you need to make a dynamic change.
Right.
And so unless the trade involves Kessel, unless it involves Letang, or actually these two guys.
Letang, Malcolm.
Right? I mean, that's what, who else, if you really want to change the dynamic, you have to.
Because guys like McCann or guys like Bluger or guys like Bukestad or guys like Cahoon that they just got, that's not going to get done what he set out and what is stated to want to accomplish.
Well, and most of those guys, most of those quote-unquote down-the-liners, second, third, fourth liners, most of those depth guys are the kind that play the game the way they want the game,
yes,
to be played. So here's the catch.
The problem is with
here.
The superstars.
Right. You want to change team chemistry. Changing team chemistry goes back to, as you said, Jim, you want to change the dynamic, make a dynamic move. But now it sounds like those options have been exhausted. Phil's not going anywhere. Gino isn't going anywhere. And Letang's probably not going anywhere either.
Jim, wouldn't it be a lot easier if the bad players were the ones who weren't walking a straight line?
Well, they'd be gone.
Right.
They'd be gone. And, you know, like I said yesterday, not like Carl Hagelin's all that great. I mean, he served a purpose, but he was among the least of their problems, especially when it came to stuff like team chemistry. It was almost like Rutherford at the time said, okay, well, I'll trade one of the most popular guys in here. See how you guys like that. And they didn't take too kindly to it. He ended up flipping those guys. And then, you know, the especially McCann, but Bukestad too, that turned out to be a really good move, I think. Now, Bukestad may not be around for the long haul. I think McCann will be. But
that's the thing. Are you making these trades to make good moves, right? Like managing to foist Brassard and Cheyennoff on Florida for Bukestad and McCann, wonderful move. But that's a good hockey trade. I don't know if he's trying to make a good hockey trade or if he's just trying to shake things up again.
Well, basically, he's saying, like you guys said, open for business. Everybody, hey, you want anybody except for the captain, come to us with an offer and we'll listen to it. But the only guys that are going to bring you a lot in return are Kessel, Malkin, and Letang.
What I just read off sounds like a pretty darn good hockey team. I'll be real frank with you. If Matt Murray plays well, mm-hmm. It sounds like a pretty good hockey team.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. And that sounds like what he's saying, too. And it sounds like Rutherford has gone from the instant reaction of, man, how the hell did we just get swept by that team, which ended up getting swept itself, and then to, well, you know what? You know, maybe things, and he talked about this yesterday, maybe things, you know, if that overtime game goes differently in game one or two, and all of a sudden, maybe everything changes. And so maybe these are the right guys. But it's kind of like talking out of both sides of his
mouth.
There's
a lot of talk, and a whole lot of talk from Jim Rutherford. The question is there too much talk from him? Let's dive into that coming up next.
Now, Minnesota was never on his list. And, you know, to that point, he's a player that deserved to get the position he's in, where he had a no trade and pick eight teams that he would go to, and otherwise he would have some say in whether he'd go to other teams.
Jim Rutherford with Ron Cook and Bob Pompeiani yesterday, just after we got out of here. Jim Rutherford, of course, all the news happens just after 10 o'clock,
right.
So his schedule permitted that he could come on at about 10:40, so bang, he joined their show. All that said, you heard right there him talking about other teams, about Minnesota, it not working with Phil Kessel. It was long rumored that Phil Kessel could be a landing spot for Phil Kessel in a trade. Listen, keep it coming for our industry. We love it. I mean, we really do. Jim Rutherford being candid, as candid of a GM as there's ever been in this town. But does he talk too much at times? I mean, if I were a player, I don't know if I'd want my business so public. If I were Mike Sullivan, I don't know if I would want the business of the organization out there so public.
Maybe
keep it coming. It's great for us.
Maybe if I were Mario Lemieux or Ron Burkle or David Morehouse, I wouldn't be too excited about it either. I mean, look, there is a certain part
of Jim. And I'm
not
complaining about it. I'm just asking the question.
Right. No.
And I think that's where you are, too.
I think the question that needs to be asked is, what's the view of Jim Rutherford, I guess, within the upper echelons of the organization, okay? Because he's at a point in his career where he has no bleeps left to give, right? He's got multiple cups. He's done it in two different places. He's done it with two very different kind of organizations. Okay, that's all well and good, but how are you managing this organization from the GM spot on down? And is it managing players and your head coach well to basically, to be so brutally honest?
And there's so many moves, right? It just the volume of moves and the sheer volume of moves. Isn't it fair for Jim Rutherford to not assume, but to some of the culpability of this to rest with Jim Rutherford?
Sure.
You know, I mean, he's the guy that made the moves. And
he's the guy that's overextended them on several really big contracts.
And listen, his batting average is really good, though. Like, all GMs miss, and he's missed on some. But his batting average is, I trust him. And he gets a lot more hits than swings and misses. That is for sure. But everybody's in on this, and he's one of the guys who's in on this. And, you know, to Jack Johnson, paying Jack Johnson what he paid Jack Johnson, and the term on Jack Johnson's contract,
right?
It's he's not able to move him right now, and he's not going to move him, and we'll hear his comments about this later on in the 7 o'clock hour. It's pretty much an either-or proposition with Olimata or Jack Johnson that he's laid himself. But he's the guy that brought Jack Johnson in here and hamstrung this organization for this long with Jack Johnson. No, it's nobody else did that.
And again,
as much as he's Sid's friend or whatever.
Personally, and for what we do, be as brutally honest as you want to, Jim. It gives us plenty of things to talk about. But if I'm the head coach, if I'm somebody above Jim Rutherford in the organization, if I'm somebody below him, one of the players, I don't know how much I like the idea of the GM telling everybody, yeah, we had that deal in place, and then, well, he shut it down. Or, oh, no, we weren't going to deal that guy, but sure, we'll listen. I mean, he was one of the guys we thought about dealing. I mean, for a player, and look, in the cases of some of these players, like, if Jack Johnson isn't happy, well, tough, Jack Johnson. You got 3 more years left on your deal, and if the Penguins want to keep you around, they'll keep you around. But for a guy like Malkin, for a guy like Letang, a guy like Kessel.
Let's take Malkin today.
Okay.
All right, there's a no-trade, full no-trade, right?
Right.
And if Evgeny Malkin's people, they could say, listen, you went on a radio yesterday. My guy's got a full no-trade. What are you talking about? You're open for business, and you can't put the clamps on we're not trading this guy.
Right.
So is my guy on the table, or is he not? Like, he has no recourse. And again, I'm not here to play the fiddle for Evgeny Malkin because he was terrible 5-on-5 last year. Just terrible. And he's part of the reason why this organization wasn't where it should have been last year. He is not the victim of Evgeny Malkin. But in this circumstance, why is the general manager talking about a guy that has earned his way in hockey and that isn't some down-the-line or fourth-liner? Why can't the general manager say definitively, yeah, we're trying to trade him. If a deal comes up, okay, that's great, which he did say. Or doesn't he deserve a little bit more?
All three of the guys that he was asked about have some sort of no trade or a certain kind of clause in their contract that prevents a certain amount of movement. And yet, you're right. There he is saying, well, I mean, I can't rule anything out.
And he's accurate in what he says, but at what point do you deserve more from the general manager than...
A little more diplomacy.
Correct. Look, it's great for our business. It really is. But maybe the way, when they talk about tightening it up, shouldn't he be tightening it up a little bit?
Right. And then the other part of this, in addition to the three guys that he didn't put the kibosh on, the other two guys that at the end of it, he says, we'll get to him when we get to him in Sullivan and Murray. It's just a whole lot of, okay, a little more diplomacy. And you can be as honest as you want to be. A little more diplomacy may be called for from time to time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.